First case, LU14-220722, DZM AD, the Tess O'Brien Apartments.
It's really loud.
Oh, I'm sorry, staff is going to do a little presentation first.
Not bad.
That's right.
Okay. Good afternoon. Before I present the Tess O'Brien staff presentation, again, a few housekeeping items. I've handed out a number of items to the commission. They are grouped. The first several items are letters received just before this hearing in support of the project. Below that is a letter from the Neighborhood Association and some accompanying images that are in opposition of the project. And at the very bottom are some additional images and studies that the applicant has provided that are not included in your packet. I'll briefly discuss those, but we'll leave it to the applicant to really go into depth about the pros and cons of those additional revisions. So I'm just going to briefly run through the history of the project and how we got to the project as it is today. So this is the fourth hearing for this project. The first review began back in November with a host of issues for the applicant to address. At that hearing, there was a tentative vote of denial as requested by the applicant. After that hearing, the review period was extended in hopes of returning to the commission with a revised project for approval. On December 4th, the items of discussion were further reduced down to a couple of items, specifically the material pallet and the ground floor of the Overton building. At that hearing, the Neighborhood Association had requested the record to remain open. We returned on December 18th, which was the most recent hearing. It was a very focused discussion that really focused on the ground floor transition of the residential units for the Overton building. And there were a couple of suggestions presented, which the applicant has presented options for. And the record was, again, requested to be held open until today. So what you will see in our presentations today are two options that address the concerns for the Overton building, specifically providing more vertical separation between the sidewalk on Overton and the residential units, and a second option to just change the ground level to live work and push the building further up to the sidewalk. Staff and the applicant have a preference for the raised residential units, as it better distinguishes the Overton from the Pettigrove frontage by responding to the more residential character of that street, and this was a concern that was stated very early on in the design review process. So before you, there are also a couple of potential options to address some minority comments at the last hearing regarding the rear and end wall treatment and the courtyard canopies. And these could be handled in the form of conditions of approval if the commission desired. And a staff report recommending approval has been provided. So just very briefly, these are the two options before you today to address the concerns with activating the ground level of the Overton building. The two residential units have been raised internally by 3 feet, resulting in stairs, landings, and raised planters within that 5-foot frontage zone. And the alternate, which is on the bottom of the screen, are live-work units with the building being pushed right up to the property line, and it represents a more commercial storefront condition. So these were some potential revisions that the applicant or studies the applicant has provided to address some of the other comments made in the last hearing, specifically regarding the end wall, the end and the rear wall, and having a consistent treatment regarding the color, the banding, and those items. And then at the bottom, there was also discussion about the courtyard canopies. Should they be something other than fabric? And the applicant has studied two options to do steel canopies that match the ones along the street, or a wood and polycarbonate type canopy that matches the other covered structures within the courtyard. So staff has prepared a revised staff report recommending approval, and we've determined that the project as designed or as revised meets the community zone guidelines and the adjustment approval criteria. And staff is recommending approval of the project as well as the adjustment to not provide a loading space for each building, and of course could consider any additional conditions that the commission finds necessary. And that's the end of my presentation.
Stacey, I had a quick question.
Yeah.
So the kind of jumped ahead to the neighborhood letter that you received. In the photos they submitted, it looks like adjacent, one of the neighbors, we didn't realize this, there's a gas meter set up, it's inaccessible, it's just built. Mm-hmm. What do we do about that? I mean, do we have anything to do with that? Or?
No, that'll be handled at the time of permit, and it will be the obligation of that adjacent property owner to reroute those lines for access.
And then the other item was that I noted in there was this scale issue, and they cite a finding in the mm-hmm. letter.
Yes, it's D7 blending into the neighborhood. And staff's response to that is on page staff report. Page 5 at the top. So the guideline reads, to reduce the impact of new development on established neighborhoods by incorporating elements of nearby quality buildings, such as building details, massing, proportions, and materials.
Okay, so there's no particular finding in here that's saying that it should be a shorter building.
No.
And do I understand the guidelines right, that it's, well, okay. I mean, the interpretation of that guideline isn't you have to do all of the above. It's
correct. If you look at the actual document, it provides examples on how you could meet that guideline.
Yeah.
Not they don't all necessarily have to be met. They just give you examples of how to do that. And massing and proportions is one way.
Okay, I just wanted that said.
So just to follow up on that, the neighbor association making a suggestion as to a massing that they think looks better for the site. It's not being driven by anything code-wise. It's just something they feel would be more in keeping with the D7 guidelines.
That's correct.
Okay, great.
Do you want to elaborate?
You ready? Okay, I think we're ready. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you for your time. I'm Martin Kehoe. I'm the developer. Right?
Press the button at the top. There you go.
Hello.
There you go.
Okay, thank you. I'm Martin Kehoe. I'm the developer. I think it's important that we explain to you briefly why we are here and why this project has evolved the way it has, because I don't think it was fair to the Design Commission the way it happened. So I'll take you through it very briefly. When we started on this project over a year ago, we applied for the Early Assistance Program. We paid our money, we got our guidelines, we got our criteria, we got everything, and we are set. And we're off and running, and we're building, we're meeting weekly, and we're coming up with a great design. At the end of about 5 or 6 months, we've got our design, we've paid our engineers, we've paid our architects, our subconsultants, we've paid everybody. We've got a building. We apply for our building permits. About a week after we apply for our building permits, we get an email. And the email is from staff, not staff that's in the room. They've been great, but we get an email from staff that says, "Oops, our bad. We were wrong in the early assistance program, and you can't build the building the way you want to build it. You have to take a floor off. You have to make it smaller," because they informed us that we could do it under community design guidelines, and which is what we did. And we talked all the way through with them and with the construction, with permitting department, and all that. So. We're off and rolling, and all of a sudden we're slammed into park, having spent about $500,000 designing two buildings exactly as the city told us to. So we start over again with the city. We kept the two buildings because we liked that concept. We then changed them dramatically, and we were told that the best way to do it was to come right before you, meet the guidelines, meet the criteria, do everything we can, and then bring it to you. In retrospect, we understand that probably the smartest thing would have been was to not surprise you with the building and instead go through a DAR so you would have some familiarity with it and we could get some feedback. We didn't do that. So that's what has led us now to our fourth Design Review Commission meeting. We have had 53 meetings with the four with the DRC, multiple staff, the neighborhood association, smaller neighborhood groups, businesses, and individual neighbors. We reached out at every call that came in. We took, we met with everybody, and we listened to what everybody had to say. We changed the front stoops. We changed the siding. We changed the windows. We changed the doors. We changed the approach. We changed the positioning. We listened to what everybody had to say. And we incorporated it, and we worked as best we could to come up with two buildings that we think the massing scales show that they do fit in very well. They're pulled apart. They let sunlight flood through the courtyard so that it's a meaningful courtyard. It's not just a courtyard there to say we have a courtyard. The building as designed is about 57% smaller than what zoning allows. Zoning would allow 220 units. We've got 126. It's 15 or 17, I think, feet shorter than what zoning allows. It doesn't overpower the neighborhood. It's, to me, I've poured my heart and soul into it. It's a gorgeous building. We're designing it for long-term people who want to have a small apartment but want to live there long-term. It's not utilitarian. It's more like home. And that's what we're trying to, what we have put together in this final hearing is the concept that we've honed down through this being our fourth hearing, we've honed it down to a final concept that just has a couple of items that we want to present. And so as the developer, I thought it was important that I gave you a little feedback as to why we surprised you at the November meeting without having a DAR. And the pain and anxiety that we've gone through on our end of it. And again, the staff has been, Stacy and Tim have been great in working with us and helping us present this. So if you have any questions for me, I'll answer them. But I thought it was important to tell you this.
Thank you. Thank you. Thanks. Appreciate that. So what we'd like to do is kind of go from the macro scale down to the micro scale, and what we would like to do next is, those words are too small for you to see, and I apologize for that, but just to, since we are in our fourth time here, to kind of review some of the things that we've done through this process to improve the design to one that we are excited to see get built and thinks a great building. So here are the items that we've done. We've provided additional study to of context to identify the different characters of the streets.
We've added brick to the entire facade of the Overton building. The Overton elevation has been redesigned to improve the composition and harmony of the overall appearance. Fiber cement siding has been eliminated in favor of traditional stucco. Residential units at the Pettigrove ground story have been converted to live workspace. The Overton building has been relocated 3 feet to provide a 5-foot setback. Four residential units at the Overton ground story have been converted to larger apartments with exterior entry areas. The ground floor opening heights have been raised to 11 feet for both the Overton and the Pettigrove buildings. Ground floor canopy heights have been raised for both Overton and Pettigrove buildings. Area has been added at the main entry alcoves to conceal emergency exit doors for both buildings. Overhead glass doors to the interior bike parking area have been added at the courtyard, on the courtyard facing elevations. Shelters have been provided for all exterior bike parking. The Overton building has been revised to provide 3-foot high stoop style entries for the residential units. Courtyard facade detailing has been provided to recess the spandrel panels. Design studies have been provided of the end walls and courtyard walls to study how they relate to historic precedents. Design studies of courtyard canopies for alternate materials have also been provided as of this, this hearing. So that's a quick summary of various changes, improvements that the team has made to get to this point. We're going to now narrow down and talk about specific elements that Stacy mentioned that were items that we were sent back to further consider.
Here we are again in Northwest Portland. I've got a new view here of the entire block showing a combination of existing and proposed buildings, our two currently proposed buildings, and another building we know is currently under design for a 100 by 100 foot block on the six-story unit on the southeast corner there. But I want to zoom right in quickly and get to the nature of these raised stoops we've created on Overton, because that has been an important talking point throughout this design process. It was clear from our previous hearing that to be successful, these stoops needed to be elevated from the rest of the building. And the Neighborhood Association gave us actually clear direction as what they thought that elevation should be. They said it should be at least 3 feet above the rest of the building. So that's what we made it. And I'll show you in the next slide how we achieved it with the internal ramping. But now these stoops are faced with brick to integrate them with the rest of the building. The raised planters, likewise, faced with brick, which provide buffer between the rest of the living space for those units. And the metal railing, which is used on those stoops, is continued atop those raised planting beds. In order to achieve this raised stoop and maintain a nice proportion of glass and relative space with the canopies, we did raise the structure of the second floor 1 foot. Just an enlarged partial plan of how those units must be accessed from the interior of the building with the ramping. And we're still at 5 feet off the property line in this design. This, as Stacy referenced, there is, we will hit the live-work option in just a minute, but we believe this raised stoop scheme is the stronger scheme, and we are in concurrence with the staff reviews, the discussions we've had, as well as the support of the neighborhood for this scheme as opposed to the live-work scheme. We think it supports the distinct nature of Overton as the existing townhomes right across the street from our project have a very similar way of addressing the street frontage there. A sectional view through one of those units gives you a bit of feel for the sense of separation, both horizontally and vertically, and the impact that might have on a sight line for a resident or a pedestrian. We still maintain a nice 9-foot ceiling there. But because some of the discussion just towards the end of our last hearing did entertain the idea of a live-work solution to Overton, we are providing that as an option. In this scenario, we push the building right up to the property line for a more commercial engagement of the sidewalk. The more smaller scale residential punched windows are replaced with larger storefronts in this scheme, which would reach down to the sidewalk. Every entrance in this case, of course, has to be accessible right from grade. We believe it's attractive, however, it's not quite the right solution when compared to the other option before you. That does mean we gain a little square footage for each unit because we don't have the ramping and the way that looks in elevation. Now I want to get to the courtyard a little bit. There's a bit of discussion about the detailing of these, what I'll call spandrel panels, that are sort of a sage green in between each window, making these window groupings, and the fact that in the previous scheme they were in the same plane as the field of the wall proper. So in response to your comments, we have developed a detail which will recess those spandrel panels as much as we can by going to a shallower stud depth, and I've actually increased the relief of this trim a little bit so that in combination with the depth of the trim and the recess, we have a 3-inch deep shadow that's produced at each of those transitions. So that in combination with the color and the shadow should make that a strong architectural solution. Now, some of the things that have shown up in your last minute supplemental studies options packet you received at the beginning of this meeting address alternate ideas for the end walls and some coloring things. There was discussion at the last hearing about whether it was historically appropriate for things like cornice lines and banding to continue on the side walls and the rear walls of an apartment building such as this. And it's true, there are plenty of examples where they stop. However, it was also noted that these buildings sometimes have punched windows and other things that animate their end walls. We also surveyed some conditions in Northwest Portland where buildings were built to zero lot lines, either historically or new and old buildings meeting each other. So we took a look at what it would mean to remove the continuity of those bands and cornices down the side walls. In the previously submitted and what is still actually our preferred scheme, you know, there's a detail at the corner here where there's a transition and the banding ends and there's a change in color to the rear facade to express something different and something more interesting. However, that's a bit of a departure from perhaps a historic precedent, depending on how you interpret it. However, we feel for this project, the continuity of those bands down the end walls help to modulate the scale and the proportion of those end walls. While they will likely one day be covered up by another building, in the interim, it helps integrate those end walls with the front facade of the building. We did note on a lot of older examples that perhaps they didn't use a dark color. They went to something lighter buff or light gray just to entertain it. We did a quick rendering of that, and it wasn't particularly attractive to us, but we show it to you just as part of our process, really. So the next thing we studied was, did you want to chime in?
Yeah, I just wanted to chime in. What we'd like to put forward on the end wall and courtyard wall questions or discussion about alternatives is the image you see here which is the design of the end walls and the courtyard walls that we had last time, is what we still think is the strongest. So we're proposing to that this is our preferred alternative. When we, if you go back to a couple of the previous images, there are different colors, but in both cases we felt as though those end walls were weaker than the design that we have in this image.
And I see the yellow light, so I'm going to try to be really concise. But another talking point at the last hearing was the materiality of the courtyard side canopies. And so we have studied the polycarbonate canopies. We have studied using polycarbonate for the building-mounted canopies in lieu of the canvas. It would require, using a similar trellis-like wood structure and attaching it to the building. It is here for you presented as an option. We feel the canvas is a more appealing and a more appropriate solution. To attach this sort of trellis-like wood structure to the building seems a little fussy. You start to get a lot of bits and pieces with all the exposed rafters and beams and things associated with this. But it's there just in case. and just to see this thought through, we said, well, what would happen if we took the steel canopies exactly as we had them detailed on the street fronts and brought those into the courtyard so there could be no question of the quality of that material and the durability. Honestly, we thought the canvas provided a softer, warmer feeling and relief to the courtyard. The steel was in opposition to the natural hierarchy of the brick facade on the street and a secondary material in the courtyard. And using steel, again, in that location did not seem to support that. But again, it is here as an option. Troy, Marty, is there anything else I have missed? I have 2 minutes to pick it up. Okay, well then, thank you. We welcome your questions and discussion.
Okay, any questions?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Have you seen the neighborhood's letter and the massing study that they said? Could you respond to that in some way?
Yes.
Economically and architecturally.
Troy, you're leaning forward first.
Okay. When you take a look at the size and shape and scope of the buildings, they blend in, they fit in. If you take a look at the building that's next door to the Pettigrove building on the north side, it's less than half that size. We separated the buildings out and to create this courtyard that we wanted that is really nice. When you take a look at what's going on in the rest of the block and what's being proposed at the corner of 19th and Overton, it would be disingenuous to say that the buildings don't fit in size. Yeah. They could be much larger, significantly larger, I think 43% larger according to our own estimates. But we didn't want to just cram as many units as we possibly could and warehouse bodies. This is a long-term hold for us. It's not something we just want to put up and turn and flip. I wish we could show you the interior pallets. They're all warm and they're inviting. They're not harsh and utilitarian. And that's the whole scope of the building. And I will also say this. Let me go back to what I said earlier about the process. It's been painful, arduous, enormously expensive. But I think we ended up with buildings that really look great. I think we've got buildings that we've got a lot of neighborhood support. We've got letters. We've got people who really like this. And you can't deny that they fit in size. So what else do we have on that? If you back this up and you'll show that one picture, the one aerial photograph. I think it was the first one. There, right there. If you take a look at that, you see in size and scope, it does fit in, and especially when you relate it to what's going on in the Conway project across from us, two blocks up, it's we're going to be small in comparison.
Okay, so I'll ask the question again. Can you respond to the drawing the neighborhood submitted, economically and architecturally?
I don't have it in front of me.
Okay.
Which one?
It's a different massing. So I was just curious. You can come back to that. I'll let you. I have a couple of other questions.
All right.
Is there an opportunity to provide a locked gate in the wooden fence to allow the other apartment get their gas meters read by going through your courtyard in some way? Or is that, I mean, the cost of relocating gas service, I would assume, is? Oh, it isn't where the fence is? I thought it was where the fence was. It's towards the, isn't it towards the back? Pardon? Oh, okay. Thank you. And on the canopies, I was wondering, it seems to me that rain on a polycarb is pretty loud. And I was wondering if that might make a lot of drumming noise in that courtyard.
Well, the reason we didn't want to do those is because they are, for a limited amount, with a bit of a slope for the bikes, we think it's okay. But for the rest of it that's attached to the building, it would create a harshness, and I think it would create, I think you're right.
I don't know, yeah, okay.
I can address this for
okay,
you, Commissioner.
Okay, great.
When we were told that when we first, after we designed the buildings through the community design guidelines and we were ready to go, we were told that all we had to do was lop off the top floor, and we were fine. We fit under community design guidelines. That wouldn't work, though, because economically it wouldn't. And I appreciate the fact that you asked that question. It wouldn't work. We'd never get financing. We wouldn't be able to build it. Where we've designed it now is it has about a margin like that. If somebody were, and this is just an aside, but if somebody were building this building right now to build it and sell it, and this may be too much information, it wouldn't work. It has to be built and held for a long time.
A long time to get your, yeah.
Exactly. But I'm okay with that. I'm okay with all the brick and the stucco and all that.
So the height on that is being shown to us by the district association, the switching of the transferring of the height doesn't work for you.
Yeah, and I apologize because this is the first time I've seen this. It wouldn't work cutting off a top floor economically or top floor or whatever, even close to it. But in addition to that, the zoning itself allows a much bigger building. We're not doing that. I've seen buildings that have not gone through design review, but I've seen buildings where the other developers have crammed them in.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to own something like that. I don't want to develop something like that.
Okay.
I think I'd also say that, Chad, that our, the solution that we have here, we've worked on for a year, and this is our professional opinion and development of what we interpret the best answer to meet the developer's requirements, the economic requirements, all of the design requirements. This massing requirement is being interpreted by them in this study in a way that's different than ours. And ours is the one that meets the requirements of all of the participants in the project and of our client.
One quick question. On the end walls, when you're describing that, the one that you preferred, what is the heavier striations? Is that's the one you...
It's a built-up relief. It's a profile. It's a stucco finished profile.
Okay, so
profile.
It's styrofoam behind that, and it's just...
Basically, yes. Okay. It matches the profile of the brick detail around the front, but it's rendered in stucco.
Okay, and it's on both sides, both end walls?
Both end walls.
Both buildings, both end walls?
Both end walls, both end walls.
I have a question just in terms of the first floor entry into the building. That was
housing. You've got the stoops there now. When you left last time, we talked about it would be acceptable to have live work, and then you met with the neighborhood association, and they preferred this. Okay. Do you prefer this?
As a neighborhood response, we do.
As a what?
As a neighborhood response, do. I prefer it in terms of the way it relates to the neighborhood. I cannot speak to it from Marty's point of view.
I've seen the live work and retail, and to me, live work is almost the same as retail because I've seen a lot of those storefront like live work windows that are just completely closed all the time.
Sure.
And they're not inviting. You walk by a building that's got live work, and a lot of times it's like walking by just a closed up office building. So. Expensive wise, yeah, this costs mm-hmm. more to do the stoops. I like it a lot more.
Okay.
So I.
Okay. All right. Any other questions? Then, Dave? No? All right. I've got two people that have signed up to testify. So if you want to step back for a second and we'll ask them to come up. If you could both come up, that would help. Bill Welch and Karen Carlson. And actually, I've got allotted 2 minutes per person. So, Paige will let you know when the timing starts, so if you can state your name and your address for the record, and then your 2 minutes will start after that.
I'll do my best. Karen Carlson, 906 Northwest 23rd Avenue. I'm on the board and a planning committee member of the Northwest District Association, Neighborhood Association. Really quickly, I think you've honed in on our letter that we are talking about the massing of the buildings being where we struggle the most. We've had a lot of development in the neighborhood over the last several years. We have been hurt by community design standards that have built some really big buildings without benefit of any design review, either by staff or by you. We're really grateful that this project has gone through design review because we think it's far improved from when we first saw it, and thank you for that. I think part of the problem is we look at this D7 as blending into the neighborhood, meaning more than just it's a brick building, it has, you know, some of the same features of other buildings in Northwest, but that it really needs to look at what's close to it. Across the street from both of these are buildings that are townhomes. They're 2 and 3 stories tall. The very large building that keeps sort of prominent out there in that corner, you can see a photograph of it on the third page. It's 6 stories tall. It's trying to break itself up by putting a cornice line at 4 stories. I don't think it was successful in doing that. We have actually found that we're comfortable in a neighborhood with these 5-story buildings, but the 6-story buildings are just getting a bit too big for us. But in particular, here, the Conway project is going to be big, and we see this area as transitioning back to the smaller part of the neighborhood where there's a lot of 1 and 2 and 3-story buildings, and we think to more respect the joining neighborhood, it should have been masked a little shorter. There's a big courtyard, private courtyard, that is for their benefit that we think could have improved. I'm sorry, I'm taking
a bit
of your time.
Nothing's going to explode, I don't think.
I'm not so sure. That's making a lot of noise over there. We'd like to see these projects blend better into our neighborhood. And as you heard, this process has not gone very well. It didn't go very well for them. It didn't go very well for us. And we're sorry that we're in at this last minute with these comments. But in spite of the fact that we totally believe this will not change the massing of this building because so late a game, we need to put these points in. And
okay. And
Bill's going to speak a little bit about the smaller building that is next to the one on Pettigrove, which I think has been brought up. And those are electric meters, by the way.
Okay.
So I'm going to leave.
Thank you, Karen. Any questions for Karen? All right. Bill?
Bill Welch, 2705 Northwest Pettigrove, 97210. My comments are really here to highlight some of the difficulties we have with the massing of the building. Basically, we believe that the building should be set back 6 feet from its property lines all the way around, providing some opportunities for maintenance of the of some of the structures that are existing and have been there since the 1910s. There's one on the corner of Overton and 20th that's a wooden structure, two stories. It's currently right next to a tilt-up warehouse building that will be demolished. And when it is demolished, we'll hopefully be able to, it's right here, this little red one.
There's a red one down here?
Yes. They're right next to each other at this point. But when the building, when the tilt-up warehouse comes down, there should be an opportunity to, you know, go in there and maintain that wall, because it hasn't probably been maintained for 30, 40 years. And then we think, in order to maintain this building for a long time, the new building should be set back to allow air and repair to happen in what is we think of as a compatibility issue. Now, the building, I believe, on Overton shouldn't be over four stories, in keeping with, as you see, the scale of the condos across the street. Now, let me talk to you about the Pettigrove brick apartment. As it is designed right now, the new building to the west of this will be built 10 inches away from this, the wall. It will cover 11 windows to basically the windows that go into six of the 12-unit apartments that are there. There will virtually be no light in those units. They're also, in the inlet of that, is the 12-meter bases. Now, we asked last week at our meeting with the developer, what about those meters? What about those things? And they had no idea that they were there, or that they had taken any provisions to establish that they needed to be moved. Now, there's no way to maintain it once that happens. To move those meters is huge expense for a relatively low-income apartment building. So it's just going to take, it's just disastrous. And so I just think that we really need to look at this again, because the infill we're setting up, where we're building to the property lines, that just is going to set a precedent for the other two lots that are now basically virtually undeveloped and down, you know, a little bit to the east. And they will also have to be to the property lines, because there won't be any way to, they could get maybe 16 feet away if they were generous, but there isn't enough light coming in there to do anything other than just front the buildings. It's an atrocious use of the space, and I think it doesn't merit what we should have gotten out of a design review and a good quality built building. Okay. Now, the second page shows that.
I have to catch up, Bill. Any questions of Bill? Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Appreciate your...
All right. Okay, can you all come back up? Or I guess that was in opposition. Any in Paige, any in favor? No? If you did want to speak, you can get a yellow form real quick and give it to Paige.
Okay. Well, we did get these four or so letters in support.
We all got them? Okay. Yeah. Right. I'm not going to read them all.
No.
Okay. All right. So what we do have, as a matter of record, four letters in support from neighbors of the design as is. So in that case, since there are no other people that are going to testify, if you all want to come back up and you have an opportunity to rebut, and I might suggest including in your rebut the last aspect of the electrical service would probably be good to address.
Okay. I think that I foreshadowed my our rebuttal thoughts, and that you're talking about interpretations of what the D7 massing requirement, what kind of building that would result in. There are, as we pointed out, our proposed buildings are shorter and less dense than zoning would allow, And so it's a combination of a lot of different things that have resulted in what we have. We've also noted that between precedent and the zone and what the zoning allows, a very common appearance that you have for housing in the neighborhood looks like this. And that is, those are the kinds of streets that so many people in planning and design love to have. So I question the representation that somehow or another creating 5 or 6 foot wide shafts between buildings is somehow or another creating a better neighborhood and a better street. The relative to the comments about the what's being referred to as the historic apartment building, let's see if I can find where that is. Yeah. It's, Carl, could you point that out? Yeah, there it is. This this building was originally designed and probably intended to be built with the idea in mind that at the time, zero outline buildings were very common, and the anticipation was that streets would be lined with buildings as they are now in other parts of this neighborhood. This building was remodeled over decades, and we are assuming that some of these openings were added as time went on, because nothing was happening in the properties next door. So I think that it's just a passage of time. This takes this back to kind of the construction that was anticipated to be next door in the first place, we believe. And then somebody said about the electrical. I personally don't know where the electrical service is.
It's on the it's on the west side of the building.
On the west side of the old. Okay.
And that's the side that you'll be building next to.
Yeah. Right. May I address that?
This foot. There's a foot. Did you all get this?
No.
No.
You want to shoot? Here. Thank you. And the service looks, the meters are in that recess, the light well, and then the looks like the main leader from the sidewalk to your piping is on that west elevation wall that leads back into that courtyard somehow, or that light well. What would be a future light well with your addition,
right,
with your construction, yeah. So I guess the question I would have at that point is there an obligation at all to help them? How would they read their meters, you know, maintain their electrical line from point of service back to there if it's 11 inches? I'm just curious about how that would work, and if PGE or whoever is your service provider would, having gone through that with a project I worked on, they were very helpful in resolving that. So.
In answer to the question, from my understanding, is that we're not under an obligation.
Right.
When you put meters on the property
right.
line or windows on the property line,
right.
you do so at your own risk. But that being said, please understand that we're not, once we're approved, we intend to talk to all the adjacent owners and try to be as good a neighbor as we can.
Okay. Right.
It's not our intention to try to bully a building that's, you know, 65% as tall as we are, or 60%.
Mm-hmm.
That's not our intention. I do want to address, if I could, the fact of the buildings blending in. They do blend in. It's obvious. When you go to the further to the south, this is not an area that trickles down from a massive Conway project to a much smaller, almost suburban type area. There's buildings bigger than this as you move towards Burnside. And these buildings that were built in the neighborhood were built end-to-end. They were built on the property lines. That's one of the hallmarks of Northwest Portland. And in addition, you do see townhouses across the street from taller buildings in Northwest Portland. That's, again, one of the hallmarks of Northwest Portland, is that it's a very mixed development. I can't change the massing, but I can tell you that having spent a year
working on this, we've done everything we can possible to listen to everyone and to try to include their concerns and their desires. I don't think any building is going to make everyone 100% happy, but short of one suggestion of putting solar propellers on the roof, we've responded to just about everything that we could have done.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Any questions? If there are, we can handle those. If not, we can.
Also, if I might add, if you look across the street towards the old Dove Lewis property, can you punch that one up?
This.
Yeah. If you look across the street at Dove Lewis, that project is similar in height and size to the one that is to the south of us, the brick condominiums. So it's on both sides of it, and it's all around it. It's a mixed development type of area, and I just can't see from that picture how those two buildings could possibly be seen as overpowering.
Okay.
I think they're nice, and I think they blend in. And we ask your approval. Not that we have low self-esteem, but we would like your approval.
Okay. Affirmation, maybe.
Yes.
Okay. All right. So why don't we kind of talk about what I think there are four areas to kind of talk about. The entry options, they're all options. Entry at the first floor of the what were live work potential units or housing units, the stucco coloring banding, canopies in the courtyard, and I guess it was more about a detail that they modified for us, which was the recess at the windows in the courtyard, which is that's where your fiber board is, your cement fiber board.
There's no fiber.
Oh, it's all stucco. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So those three then, entry, stucco, banding color, and canopies in the courtyard. Anybody have any preferences they want to express?
Sure. I think that the, first of all, I did really appreciate all the explanation by Martin and also the range of options that were presented. I thought it was really helpful to help get our heads around everything that the team had looked at. I feel like the one that gives the most coherency to the building is the dark-colored one because it reinforces the gaps that are on the front as the kind of secondary material. Mm-hmm. And consistent with other buildings in the district, there's a kind of common treatment to the sides and to the back, with the one exception being what's on the street. So I feel like it fits better in the neighborhood and provides a more coherent building, the dark color that wraps all the way around. And I also really appreciate the care that the applicant took in that option of kind of taking the coping around the top of the building and completing it. I thought that really strengthened that as well.
And, okay.
So just to verify, I want to make sure we understand which one you're talking about.
One more.
That one. That's correct.
So the original one had thicker intermediate bands.
It carried the brick facing only onto the sides and not onto the back.
Right. Right. So you like that one better?
I just think it's more coherent in terms of the three sides and is more consistent with the way the buildings are typically treated in the neighborhood.
Okay. if you want to make a suggestion for each one of these options, why don't you go ahead?
I will. Okay. Right. So in terms of that, I think, first of all, I'd like to say based on these, I'm ready to approve the project based on some of these. That's my position. The polycarbonate caps at the back, again, I really appreciated kind of looking at the range of options. My sense was that just in terms of durability and the kind of life of the canopy, and also, again, coherency, I felt the steel version with the polycarbonate was successful. I agreed very much with the applicant that the kind of wood, trying to use the trellis structures as the structure for the canopies, is not successful. That's that.
I wasn't clear on that.
Sorry. Okay. So it'd be the steel canopy.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry.
Yeah.
I appreciate what Marty was saying about the live-work being challenging in certain districts. While I could support that, if that's what they were recommending, I support staff in their assessment of this, of keeping the residential on one building. And it was a very early comment that we had made and encouraged, was that differentiation. And I was sort of lamenting the fact that we might lose that differentiation because we were unable to figure out a way to do it. And so I really applaud the applicant's sort of really hard look. I know it is hard to achieve something like this, especially when you're this far down the road. So, and I think it is successful in keeping that differentiation. And so I would support the residential instead of live work on that street. So the residential stoops.
So do you have an opinion on how that's resolved?
I'll leave that open for other commissioners.
Right. Just as a kind of what I noticed was pulling it back, obviously, then all the canopies are on the property line and aren't kind of fulfilling the aspect of protecting the pedestrian guidelines. So it's kind of, in this, as we move forward in the next couple months, we'll have to be weighing this out, because if we do have housing that we prefer stoops on and their canopies are covering the stoops, then do they extend out at some point in the future where they provide cover on the sidewalk? So,
good point.
Anyway, it's just something that I could support either one of these, although I'm not, in its current form, the stoops seem minimal and kind of awkward. They follow that central bay, but I guess I was looking for something maybe a little more generous, but I'm not, I just want to hear everybody else's opinion on that, and it's not something that would be necessarily hold me up. Unless everyone likes it the way it is, or what? I don't know.
I'll take a moment. First of all, I too am in support of the project here today. And Mr. Guillo, what you said in your opening statement, I hadn't heard that before. And if that is in case that what happened, which I'm sure it is, I think the city owes you an apology. I think the city owes the development team an apology, because those decisions that come early on in processes are very expensive, as you said, to follow through. And I'm sometimes surprised that the city in those situations doesn't step up and kind of help assist the process even more when it was a mistake made by the city in the very early parts. And it is interesting perceptions, because in the first couple of hearings, we didn't know that had occurred, and it did feel somewhat acrimonious, and I didn't understand as to why at that point. But like I say, if this in fact happened, I apologize for the city from my position, hopefully it goes smoother from this point forward. And I think the project has made great strides in improvement as a result. So I appreciate what you said, that even through all that acrimony and that difficulty and that expense, that you too appreciated in the end, it kind of turned out as an improved project. So I like that. And I'm in complete alignment with Commissioner Keltner on the steel awnings, the residential approach, the simplified end walls. Okay. Right. In regard to your question, At this point, I'd leave it up to the design development team. I personally won't send them back for more changes on the residential front. So,
okay. Dad, do you have any?
I'd rather hear from you first, since I missed two sessions. Although I listened to the tapes, I have some comments, but I don't know how relevant they are.
I'm in agreement with the steel canopies, the stucco color banding aspects of it, and then. I think either one can work. It's really interesting how some applicants are coming in saying we really want that live-work aspect to our projects that we've heard from recently. And then, so it's really a mixed bag right now, what we're hearing. We'll keep a close eye on how this shakes out, because the sad part, almost any living unit on the first floor is going to have that kind of desire for more privacy than a retail will. So that being as it may, I could go with either one. I support the stoops, and you've gone to a bit of gymnastics internally to do that in the building. I would the part that just bothers me about it, it just seems so kind of a little piece that, you know, you got the ground plane for 60 to 70% of the building, and then it pops up in this little kind of underscaled stoop relative to the entire elevation. That's the only part that kind of, it just seems a little underscaled, but if everyone else is okay with it, I can live with it, I guess. You know, it might be a friendly amendment or something like that, a suggestion to explore it, but anyway, that's how I feel.
I appreciate hearing your past experience, and it sounds unfortunate. I don't know the details, but from your perspective. However, we deal with what's in the room and what's submitted to us, and that is the purview of our conversation. I've been to the site on two separate occasions and taken pictures and walked the site and examined everything else. I am aligned with my fellow commissioners about the improvements as suggesting. I agree. I think the stoops are best. I think the dark color and the coping around is good. I prefer the metal to the wood for the canopies. I'm in alignment there. I have a broader comment, which really doesn't apply, but when you first came in, I was at that meeting. And I expressed my excitement about the opportunity of having these two sites with this courtyard in the middle. And I also expressed the opportunity, the excitement of an opportunity that would allow the developer and the architectural team to really develop two buildings. And since you've chosen to focus on the courtyard as really the kind of the aha for the residents, that has driven a lot of the project in terms of how big should the courtyard be. So there's interesting dynamic between what is the neighbor, how does the neighborhood benefit from the project, and how do the residents benefit from the project, and that's a delicate balance. I feel there's an opportunity missed because I didn't think that really came to fruition in the way that it could. I too believe that the building should be of quality and that it's in your best interest to develop a good project that will be there for 50 years instead of torn down when somebody redoes the block in 50 years, okay?
Exactly.
So I understand that. So my comments are about making a great building in the neighborhood that fits in the neighborhood and stays forever, okay? Mm-hmm. I tend to disagree with where we've ended up. I don't think it quite meets the mark for me. But I feel that you have addressed the issues per the guidelines in terms of following this commission's requests and their the hoops they've put you through. And it doesn't make any difference at this point. I may not vote to approve the building because I feel that there were some issues in the very beginning that really didn't get to be addressed. I think that the courtyard area is really kind of feeling like the back end from an architectural standpoint, and that was supposed to be the good part, and having the nice materials on the front so the neighborhood benefits is a good move. But I wonder what that backspace is really going to be like over time with the stucco and the flatness of those buildings. So it's a question, but since I'm trying to be respectful. I still have an opinion. Okay.
Sure. Okay.
Thank you.
Having now, have we said our piece? Do we need to say anything else? I'm going to close the public testimony then, and if we're ready to vote, we can vote. Unless you want to have any closing round of comments.
Do you need some?
Do you need something from us? Well, what we need a motion on is a motion with the options. Right.
Yeah, okay. Yes, you need to close public testimony. You also need to close the record.
Right.
By my nose count, we're headed towards an approval. Mm-hmm. There is, as Stacy was just mentioning, likely looking at conditions of approval per David's comments, just to specify particularly the simplified dark surround example for the end walls in the rear, meaning no banding. As I have in my notes.
The same colors?
And the same color, dark. the steel canopies and the rear elevations, both buildings, and clarifying that. Is it option one or two? That's the
residential. Clarifying option one for the residential.
And clarifying option one for the residential stoops on the Overton building.
Oh, just clarifying the residential walk-up option.
Yeah,
right.
That's cool. Yeah. Thanks.
Okay. I did have one thing you should say probably before the record's closed and address the testimony a little more directly. We often have neighbors come in here that are, there's a fundamental issue with the kind of zoning of the lot and how the city has chosen to allow sort of zero property line or a certain height of building. And I think we are here to determine how well these buildings are meeting the guidelines, but we're not here to sort of question or oppose the zoning that's been established for property. So the way it's achieved, we can have comment on, but if it's a sort of fundamental issue with how tall buildings can be or whether or not they can go to property lines, I think that's the kind of thing where if the way we functioned was that at this late point in the game that this commission could overturn sort of fundamental zoning establishment, you know, ideas in the zoning, that would be complete chaos for development teams in the city. They'd just have no idea. Even property value would be difficult to establish if you didn't have some sense of what was achievable. So while I appreciate as a neighbor sort of realizing what the implications are of your neighbor's property and how upsetting that can be and challenging, it's even worse for a city overall to have a completely, you know, a development system that already I'm sure development teams feel like there's a lot of unknowns as they move forward, but to even have those kind of fundamental rules around the property question, I think would really I think it would just completely make development almost impossible within the city. So, and those zoning, the zoning that's been put in place has been put in place with neighborhood involvement and towards an eye toward achieving our larger goals as a city for density. So if we're not going to put it there, we got to figure out where else we are going to put it. And that's a part of a whole, you know, Portland discussion, which is ongoing right now and is nearing its end. In terms of redoing the comprehensive plan, it's looking at all that stuff. So if you haven't been involved in that, clock's ticking, last minutes to kind of get your two cents in on where things are going. So that's it.
Okay. Can I get a motion?
Sure. So I'll make a motion to accept the staff report as written, which was a very good staff report. Thank you, Stacy. With a lean towards the steel canopies on the rears of the building with the polycarbonate, the end walls being dark and simplified, wrapping around the rears, and option one for the residential stoops on Overton.
Give
me
a second.
A second.
Okay. Paige? No.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.